Right? We're courageous enough to reach into heaven, bring it down to the earth, and implant it. What does that look like? Paulette said, pregnant. Okay? God, I'm working on a second book. God sketches us in his book that sits on his nightstand, sketches our cute little face, writes some details about, kisses our picture and sits it down, and then implants us in the womb of our mother. From heaven into earth, into the womb of our mother. Can you just imagine when you get there what your picture looks like in his book? Because your picture's there. Your picture's already in his book. Kissed it and implanted you in the womb of your mother. Come on, Jesus. All righty. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, you know, we've been talking about expectation, expectancy, all that kind of stuff. We've been doing that for a year now. The Lord gave that to us last January. He gave it to me, gave it to Pastor Mona. We were talking. What are we going to talk about in 2019? We heard the same exact word. I heard expect and she heard expect. I'm like, Jesus help us. Yvonne, what you heard about? Something about expectancy. I don't know. Like, we're like, okay, guess that's what we're going to talk about this year. So, you know, we have expectations, and we can believe God. We can have expectations of God based on the truth of his word. I expect, I don't know about you, I expect when I lay hands on people that they're going to be healed. I absolutely do. I have childlike faith. I expect that. Why? Because God's word says it. Therefore, I expect it. So I was asking the Lord, like, what do you want me to talk about? And I felt like the Lord wanted me to shift and talk about his expectations of us. How many of you ever expect your husbands to behave a certain way? Okay, three of you are telling the truth and the rest of you are liars. The Bible says there are going to be no liars in heaven. Like, you don't want them to pass gas in public. You don't want them to show their chest hairs. And come on, somebody, you know what I mean? Like, you expect your husbands. You know you do. Y'all are looking at your paper. You know you expect them to behave a certain way. How many of you expect your children to behave a certain way? Mm-hmm. Like, don't you roll your eyes. You might roll your eyes in public and live, but if you roll your eyes at me out in front of the church folk, you better be thankful that you grew up in a family that's saved, because you're going to heaven. And if you hadn't said the sinner's prayer yet, you're going because I'm saved. Right? No, we expect our children, we expect them to behave in a certain way. You get a little bitty folk that you don't expect them to behave, wait till they get to be teenagers. They'll be eating your lunch. I was a youth pastor for 10 years. You better be making some real firm expectations when they're little. How many of you expect your bodies to behave in a certain way? Yeah, and then you get to menopause and you're like, what is this? This is the curse of the unredeemed. Seriously, I think that's the only time my husband has looked at me and like, I think we're going to get divorced. I don't know what you are, but I'm not living with you long. The bad part is that lasts about 10 years, and I'm still married, so that's thankful. I had to promise my husband I'd be good on two or three days a week, and the other days I'd take medicine. I don't know. So when you expect your husband, your children, your friends, your whatever. So if they don't expect the way that you think, are there consequences to that? Like, if my children didn't expect there were consequences. Now my husband, I don't know, you got to honor the man of God. But we believe the way we believe, and there are things that are expected of us. And I want to tell you, just right square up front, God has things that he expects of his children, as any good parent would, right? As any good parent would. So does God have expectations for his daughters? The answer would be, see, that's the way I like to teach. That's the next slide, guys. That's the way I like to teach. I like to give you the answer ahead of time, and then you know how to answer the question. So the question is, does God have expectations for his daughters? Yes, he does, right? Yes, he does. So I started looking up in the Bible, because you know, if you want a good leisurely sit on the toilet a long time read, read the book of Leviticus. I mean, like Leviticus, straight up. Mm-hmm. There's everything, and they're like, I'm like, God, like, how long did it take you to write the book of Leviticus? Because there's directions about green mold and red mold, and if your period's this many days long, you got to go outside of the city. Then I'm like, how long did it take you to write the book of Leviticus? And then I'm so thankful to God Almighty that I didn't live back in the days of Leviticus. I don't even know if Leviticus is a real person or just a something. But if you need leisurely good reading, Leviticus is a good place. It will help you to be joyful in the fact that Jesus knew that there was a simple little girl that in 2019, can you just boil through all those things? Like the book of Numbers. Like, I know God loves to count, but just get it down to me. Like, are you not there? Like, I want to say, Lord, okay, can you just, isn't this a dangerous prayer? Like, you just get up in the morning and say, okay, Lord, what you expect of me today? No. Okay, because then the Lord might send you to a place where you don't want to go. Might put you in a situation you didn't want to be in. Because see, those early transparent prayers really put us in a place of God being able to really test, oh, you really do want to ask me what I expect of you this day? I got a plan. See, I think if we would get ready in the morning early and start to begin to ask the Lord early rather than get up with our long list of things. We get up in the morning just asking, Lord, how am I going to partner with you today? What are we going to do that's fun? Are we going to do anything different? That's fabulous. Okay, let's talk about that. So I said to the Lord, okay, so in the Bible, what is it, where are the passages that teach us what you expect of me? So one of the first ones he took me to was Micah. Now, Micah's a prophet, you know that. And Micah 6 is actually set up where, and this, the Lord, it just undid me when I started looking at the prophet, because actually the prophet had, the people had come, and this is his fourth response to them. Now I'm going to read you, it's not up there, but I want to read you the beginning part of what this answers. So in Micah, starting at verse 6 and verse 3, it says, the Lord says, my people, what have I done to you? Now I don't know about you, but when I was early studying the Bible, I would read things about the children of Israel. I'm like, God, why don't you just kill them? Like, if it had been me, I'd have just killed them. I'd have just killed them right there. And the Lord said, well, because I was looking forward at your life, so I wouldn't have to kill you. Because you misbehave like they do. And I'm like, Lord, that is not kind at all. Just be kind. So here he says, the Lord says to, what have I done to you? How have I been a burden to you? I'm not making this up. I'm reading it right out of the Bible. Can you imagine God reaching out of heaven and saying to you, what have I done to you? What have I done? How have I been a burden to you? See, I'm about to cry my eyes out right now. How have I been a burden to you? Answer me. Answer me. And then the Lord begins, I brought you out of Egypt. I rescued you from slavery. I sent Moses, Aaron, and Miriam to lead you. My people, remember this, remember that. The Lord begins to list out all the good things. Now, I don't know, maybe you've walked righteously before the Lord your entire life. I have not. But can I be honest with you? You know, I probably would have been in this category. There have been times where I have been upset with the Lord. I might have whined before the Lord. I can tell you, I have whined. I have been this where the Lord would have, what have I done to offend you? Didn't I pull you up out of a dark place? Didn't I deliver your children? Didn't I bring your husband back to a place of health? What have I done for you to you be whining and acting like that? What have I done to you? Now we can stop and have altar call right here. But maybe I'd be the only one at the altar, but maybe not. So the prophet says to them, looking at this now, because the people are, the Lord is saying, you've been acting this way, and I've done all this for you. And so they are responding in a very derogatory way to the Lord. Now, again, this is the children of Israel, but maybe somebody in the room other than me has responded to the Lord in a derogatory tone at one time or another. Okay, Lord, With what shall I come before you to honor you and bow myself before God on high? Shall I bring you burnt offerings or yearling calves? Will the Lord be delighted in thousands of rams? Since you've done all this good stuff for me, is that what you require of me, 1,000 rams for me to sacrifice them? Look at this, 10,000s of rivers of oil. Shall I present my first child for my acts of rebellion, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? Like, oh my gosh, are you really speaking to the Lord like that? We might not be bold enough to say it, but sometimes we in our, come on guys, sometimes in our heart, we're harboring those kind of things. Like, Lord, really? Have you not seen the condition of my life? What in the world is going on? What have I got to do to get you off my back? And then the Lord wants to bring us to a place of remembering it. Did I not bring you to a place of salvation? You didn't choose me, I chose you. Let that be humbling to us tonight. So he has told you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? Not your firstborn child. Not the fruit of your body being sliced off. He has told you, be just. Love and diligently practice kindness. What do you think the Lord says, diligently practice kindness? Because sometimes we need to remember that kindness takes a little work. Sometimes it's easier to be snotty. No, Pastor Kathy. Diligently practice kindness. I did a cut and paste. Walk humbly with your God, setting aside any overblown sense of importance or self-righteousness. Walking humbly with your God. Look at it out of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 10 says this, and now, O Israel, what does the Lord require of you? He requires only that you fear the Lord your God. That is not I am afraid, that is reverential awe, which is the beginning of all wisdom. The Lord requires that you fear him, live in a way that pleases him, love him and serve him with all your heart and soul. All inclusive of everything, exclusive of nothing. And you must always obey the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today. What, ladies? For your own good. For your own good. So you're going to begin to see a common thread woven through these scriptures. Love, obedience. Love the Lord. Obey. You're not loving the Lord and obeying his commands so that you can just walk through life and be, for your own good, for our own good, the Lord's saying, love me, obey me, do what's right in my eyes. And you know, the thing about it is out of 1 John, like, we have to really go back and we, like, we didn't bring ourselves to salvation. We didn't pick ourselves to be saved. We don't even know how to love outside of him. Look at the scripture, ladies. We love because he first loved us. See, that's how we learn to worship. The Father sings over us in the night. Check it out. He's singing over us in the night. As he's singing over us in the night, we get up the next morning with a song in our heart because a good Father has been singing over you in the night. Maybe that will calm some of you that have night tremors or you're fearful in the night. Close your eyes and just ask, begin to sing over me so I hear it, Father. Ask for it. He's a good Father. Why would he withhold that from you? Verse 20 says, and whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a, for whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have not seen cannot love God whom they have seen. So I was reading recently about a woman who has been really, 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 really challenged, and it was in a book that you told me to read, really been challenged about loving people and how, you know, you got to be able, if you're really going to share the gospel and be effective in the world and all that, you got to get over the fear of dying. Because the fear of dying keeps us from sharing the gospel. And so she's like, okay, Lord, just really, really, really implant that in me so I get over, like, okay, if I live, I live. If I die, I die. Great, great, great. She actually got to a place where one day she was being robbed. Man walked up to her, pulled a gun, pointed it right at her face and said, give me your wallet. She's like, she looked at him, and I cried for about an hour. I'm like, Lord, let me have that. So he's got a gun at her, and she says, oh, you know what? You must need to get saved. because the Lord's brought you into my path today so that you can hear the gospel. Let me tell you about a man that loves you and has sent you here today. He drew you to me, and you might have that gun, but I'm going to tell you what, the Spirit of the Lord has brought you here. She led the man to salvation. He got saved and is loving Jesus. But she was not afraid of death. She's like, die? Great. I ran the prize. Live? This man's going to get saved. How many of you want that type of faith and courage? And see, the rest of you didn't raise your hand because you're good. Like, no, Pastor Kathy, let somebody else do that. But we can't claim that we love totally if we're not willing to claim the unlovely. How many of you know when that man comes up, got a gun in your face, he's probably not the person you'd want to love right then? But such love from the Father came over her towards that man. She's like, you must need to get saved today. All right. So the Bible from the beginning to the end commands us to love, doesn't it? Love, love, and love. Without love, we never can expect to fulfill the plan of God in our life. Here's a scripture I want us to break apart tonight. And this is a very common scripture. And when the Lord, for 3 weeks I waited, I kept saying, Lord, this is like, this. They're going to know this scripture, but there's got to be something more. Look at Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Love the eternal one, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Now, those three words in the Greek are very similar. They're very, very similar. You know, they talk about very similar things. And so what I had to do is I actually wrote out and made like a little flow chart kind of thing where I put the definitions from the Greek in front of me. And I looked at them over and over and over. And I kept saying, they're common. The thread's common between them. But Lord, there's something you want to say. Because often in a verse, if you see the Lord repeat something two or three times, he's doing that for emphasis. He knows that I'm slow sometimes in my little brain. And he needs to say it, so I'll fetch it. But not here. Not here. Let me show you what the Lord began to teach me about this. Because this is the first and the greatest command. Now, you know, we see this out of the parable of the Samaritan, right? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. This is where we see this. And so love the Lord with your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So heart, when we look at the heart, it is the inner man. Now watch it. Heart is the inner man, the mind, the will, the soul, the understanding. But look what it is. When you get down and start really studying the Greek on this, heart as the seat of appetites, as the seat of emotions and passions, as the seat of courage. Can I tell you what the Lord showed me? If you're not allowing Jesus, because when we get saved, we ask Jesus to come into our heart, right? Isn't that the prayer? When Jesus comes into our heart, he sits on our appetites. He sits on our emotions and our passions. He sits, if we will allow him, on our courage. So he comes and sits himself on it to give it expression that's pure. Because if Jesus is not sitting on our appetites, our emotions, those things that women get all stirred up about, if he's not coming and brooding and sitting over it, how many of you know sometimes we can act out of that and not be pure, it not be right? But we invite Jesus to come into our heart. And when we do, and we want to say, Lord, we love you with all of our heart, that means what we're saying is we've invited you to come and sit on our appetites. Our passions, those things of the world. We start looking at shows. We get all stirred up. We see this. We see that. We get all stirred up. But Jesus, come and sit on it so that it becomes pure. Love the Lord with all of your heart. So this morning, I happened to be catching up with a friend from California. I had to change my PowerPoint this morning with Kafar because she was talking to me about this. I just about flipped out. Her son, Jason, this is Carrie George. I don't know, some of you that are old NCC, ACC people know Carrie. So her son, Jason, is in school. He's now a cardiac nurse that works in the operating room. So he calls Carrie yesterday and said, Mom, you will never believe it. I was working in the OR with a surgeon who was telling me that the interior of the heart is called the bundle of his. H-I-S, capital. The bundle of his. Jason said, Mom, look at that. God put, even in the medical science world, the interior of our heart, where Jesus comes to live inside of us, is the bundle of his. Now, I'm going to work this for the next 10 or 15 minutes, so you hang with me. The bundle of his. The interior of our heart is the bundle of his. Love the Lord with all of your heart. Are you willing tonight to let the Lord come and sit on your imagination, sit on your passions, sit on your desires, sit on your appetites, so that they become pure, because you've given him the seat of the throne of your heart. So love the Lord with all of your heart. Look at the next one. With all of your soul. So the soul represents us, right? Our self, our life, our person. Now you see those words, appetites and all. So we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul. Now look at this. This is the activity of the mind, the activity of the. So when Jesus comes to live on your heart and you allow him to take up residence and sit on your emotions, then out of that we begin to act. Our soul begins to act. But now we ain't acting like no crazy people. We're acting like Jesus, because Jesus is sitting on the top of our emotions. He's sitting on the top of those things that the world's looking at, because they need to say something that's authentic and real and pure. And if God, if we're not loving the Lord with all of our heart and letting him sit on that, then our soul acts in a way that's crazy. And ain't nobody going to see Jesus like that. So what we're saying is, Lord, we love you with all of our heart because we've let Jesus sit on it. We're going to act out of the fact that he's sitting on our heart. And then our mind is the faculty of understanding. The Holy Spirit functions here. Jesus comes and takes up seat on our emotions. We act out of it. And the Holy Spirit comes to say to us, no, you're a little off base right here. He comes back to our mind and reroutes our thoughts so that we go back to asking the question, is Jesus really sitting on my emotions? Because if he was really sitting on my emotions and I was acting out of purity, then when the Holy Spirit says, you ain't acting like you're supposed to, we go, you're right. Or when something's coming out of our mouth, right? And the Holy Spirit's like, that's not kind. Remember we talked about kindness. So deliberately being, Holy Spirit says, your words are not being kind. We go back and we say, Jesus, we love you with all of our heart. Are you sitting on the words of my mouth so that I'm acting out of a place of purity? Therefore, my words are kind, and I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to come back and adjust that. So that little simple verse of love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind is really talking about, we will show the Lord we love him when we allow Jesus to sit on the things of our heart, act them out in purity, and give the Holy Spirit permission to adjust them as he needs to. So in the mornings when you get up, Lord, I give you permission this morning to come and sit on my heart, that I might act out of that. And Holy Spirit, I give you permission to adjust me when I need to. But how many of you know that takes a real dedication to be able to pray that every morning and be willing to be adjusted? I have found the older I get, folks don't like being adjusted. They don't like being confronted. They don't like having to sit down. They don't like to have to be redirected. Now, come on, you know you probably do, but I probably don't. But if we want to show the world the real love of God, it's got to be in this order. We've got to say, I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. Jesus, me, and the Holy Spirit, a bundle of his. Come on, did you get that? A bundle of his. Now, the next part of that commandment is, and the second is nearly as important. Nearly as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. For the rest of the law and all the teachings of the prophets are but variations on these things. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the story of the Good Samaritan, you know it. So this young man is walking from Jerusalem. He's going down the road, right? He gets beat up, stripped, all this stuff, all the bad stuff real quick, right? And the priest comes by. Now, this is his pastor. Pastor strutting along. Oh, you wounded. You got some, you know what, I got to get to church. I'm sorry, I ain't got no time to minister to you right now because, you know, church starts in about half an hour, so I hope somebody will take care of you. Well, then the next one that comes by is the Levite, one of the members of the congregation. I'm sorry, you're hurt and wounded. Well, you know what, I got softball practice, and my kids got piano lesson, and I got to go home and cook dinner, but I'm hoping somebody's going to get over here and take care of you. Now, I know that none of us do that. I'm so thankful to be in a group of women that never happens where you see somebody that's in need and you step over all that your agenda and your time frame and all that you got going on and you're just going to back it up. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Oh, you need me because I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind. Jesus sits on my need to keep going. Come on, work with me. But I got an agenda. Jesus sits on it. I begin to act on it, and the Holy Spirit says, turn to the right. This person needs you. And then I love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind. And now I get an opportunity to love my neighbor as myself. Right? So the third person in the triad comes along. He's a Samaritan. The Jews and the Samaritans didn't even get along. Like they just didn't even consider them to, even though they were still Jewish, they didn't consider them to be. There was bigotry and all kind of nasty stuff in it. And so the Samaritans come along. He goes, oh, you're wounded. You know what? Let me get up and minister to you. Let me take care of you. So the one that is least likely to be loving the neighbor is the self. The one that's least likely goes and gets him, takes him to be taken care of, and says, listen, if I'm going to come back tomorrow, and if there's any money or anything needed, I'll pay that too. See, that's the type of love that the world's looking for. If we're ever going to see, if you're really going to see your children saved, your neighbors saved, first of all, we've got to be in a place where we really believe that they can be saved, where we really believe that they can be loved by God. So I said, Lord, you know, that's so simple. How come we don't often live in this? You know what the Lord began to speak to me about? Because the phrase says, if you look at it, love your neighbor as yourself. And the Lord said, so many people can't operate at that because they don't love themselves. The Lord began to speak to me about self-hatred. How many times women get behind closed doors and start talking nasty about themselves? I'm fat. I'm stupid. I'm inadequate to my husband. I'm a bad mother. Come on now. We get behind, we start doing all that stuff. The Lord said, you know what? When you start talking about yourself like that, it offends me. Because I say things to people all the time. You can say what you want to about me. You say something ugly about my children, you're in trouble. I hope you're saved. Because you're about to close your eyes and see Jesus. Don't be talking about my children like that. Anybody other than me, am I the worst mother in the room? Say what you want to about me. Don't talk about my children. And the Lord said, the way you feel and say about that, it is offensive to me when you display self-hatred. Because you are my daughter. When you say you are without, when you say you're ugly, when you say you're fat, you say you're not this, you are offending me because you are my child. You look like me. You act like me. My spirit is within you. Don't talk about my child like that. So the Lord began to deal with me. A lot of times we don't go because we don't even have a love for ourselves. And that is not what the Father wants us to do. We'll never impact the world. Look at the next slide. Here's reality number one. Sometimes it's much easier to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind than it is to love our neighbors as ourselves. God has never mistreated us or been mean to us, but our neighbors have. Oh, come on now. Come on. They love your cat, don't they? Uh-huh. They wash your cars when you're on vacation. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, sometimes people act snotty and they treat us snotty. And so therefore, because they've treated us ugly, we don't want to love them. We're going to hope the Lord loves them through somebody else. I appreciated Monette's word. How about the Lord wants to love them through you tonight? Then we got to go back to love the Lord with all of our heart. Let Jesus come and sit on that emotion of hatred. Act out of a place of purity and allow the Holy Spirit to redirect us. Yes? So reality number one is sometimes our neighbors have mistreated us and we want somebody else to love them and hope they'll get saved through somebody else's ministry. Amen? But not sisterhood. And reality number two, the wounds in our hearts often keep us from loving others in the same manner as we love ourselves. Woundedness. A lot of that happens as children when we don't understand how we're supposed to handle adult emotions. We've been molested. We've been talked to ugly. I get it. I was the heaviest one forever. I was bullied. I was made fun of about the way I look. I get it. I bear the scars of that for a long, long time. I get it. But at some point, you got to get yourself up and say, Jesus came that I can be free from the way I felt as a child, and I'm going to move forward because the world needs to know that Jesus loves them. Not that I have a past, right? Those wounds sometimes keep us from loving others. These wounds from childhood often cause us to be jealous. Not that any of you are ever jealous of your sisters. Praise the Lord for that. I can't confess that to be true in my life. Jealous, envious, bitter, distrusting, liars, slanderers. Those are nice words on a Friday night, aren't they now? Like you're like, did we wait all night long to hear this? Really? Honestly? But those wounds of our heart as a child often cause us to... Now, we don't act like that on Sunday morning in front of everybody. We're like, bless the Lord, oh my soul, sister, you looking so good. I'm so glad to see you. And in our heart, we're going, does she know what that makeup looks like? Did she check it out before she got here? I mean, that hair is way short. I don't know. And the jewelry ain't matching the fingernails. I mean, I don't know what she's talking about. But, oh, sister, so glad to have you at New City Church today. See, y'all are laughing because I'm not the only one. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands in the air. I'm just going to let you laugh. These wounded places are protected in our strongholds. I don't have time to teach you on that tonight, but do let me show you one revelation the Lord gave me. Maybe sometime this year I'll get to minister on that. Look at this next slide. Go ahead and put that next slide up. Strongholds are lies that we believe. Lies, plural. Do you see the little S on the tail? Lies that we believe. The Lord said there are a multiplicity of lies that women believe about themselves that keep them from fulfilling the commandments of the Lord. But there is only one strong tower that we run to. There are not a multiplicity of strong towers. There is one. We got to get back to Galatians 5. It is for freedom that Christ came to set me free. I will stand firm then. If I can't stand firm then, where am I going? To the strong tower. If I can't stand in my freedom, where am I going? To the strong tower. Not back to the strongholds, right? So we'll talk on that later. Question. Are we so distracted with trying to fix our issues so we can be loved and accepted by the Father and mankind that we don't have time to love others as we love ourselves? See, that self-hatred keeps us inward focused. The self-loathing keeps us looking at how bad our lives are. Like, we look at what we don't have. We live in one of the greatest countries of the world. According to the world's population, we are in the top 3%. I don't care that you're not driving a new Lamborghini. We sit in the top 3% of the wealth of the world, and yet we complain because of all the things we don't have. Guess what that is? It is a distraction from the pit of hell. This is a season in our lives, ladies. Come on, I need you to listen to me. 5 minutes. This is a season in our lives where we need to quit looking at what we don't have and quit looking at what the and start looking at what the world doesn't have. They don't have Jesus. And without Jesus, they will all perish. Guess what? We come in agreement with the will of the Father. It is the Father's heart that none should perish. John 3:17. For Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but through him the world might be saved. We're going to reach up into heaven and partner with the Lord and say, I'm available, Lord. Let me get my eyes off of what I don't have. Let me get my eyes off of self-loathing. Let me get my eyes off of telling myself on a regular basis how bad I am. And let me begin to put my eyes on my neighbor that needs Jesus. Let me get up in the morning and say, I love the Lord with all my heart. Come and sit on it, Jesus. Soul, let me act out of it. And with my mind, Holy Spirit, take my mind and turn it around as you need to. And then watch what the Lord does with you. I challenge you this night. I challenge you this night. What are the distractions? And let me tell you, while you're trying to figure out what you could do, if you could behave a little better, God would love you. Let me tell you tonight. Newsflash. On the very worst day of your life, the very worst day, God loves you just like he does tonight. He was clapping his hands and saying, I love you. Come on, you don't have to behave like that. You don't have to keep talking to people like that on the very worst day of your life. But we spend so much time because if we behaved in school, the teacher applauded. Right? And if you were the good person in the class, you got the gold star. Let me inform you tonight, you got the gold star. You got the gold star in the spirit. You got it. The problem is the enemy won't let you believe it. Because you're always evaluating your behavior. God says you are righteous because of Jesus. When we stand in eternity, we will not stand at the white throne of judgment because we have been judged already. We have been judged as righteous. Therefore, we will be at the Bema seat of Christ where our works will be evaluated and rewarded. John 17:23, and I'm getting ready to wrap it up. Listen, if you struggle with really knowing, God help me not cry my eyes out, if you really struggle with really honestly believing that God loves you like he loves your sister, let's just be intimate. Let's, the ladies at your table. Sometimes we look at the ladies at our table, oh, she's being used. She's elevated in the church, therefore God loves her more. Look at this. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Fabulous. God upped that scripture. Jesus took that and moved it right on up the ladder. Check it out, John 17. I am in them, and you are in me. Listen to the prayer of Jesus. May the ladies at Reign this night experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Can you put that somewhere deep in you tonight? How do you think God loves Jesus? How do you think he loves Jesus? Well, either the word of the Lord is true or it's a lie. The word says that in the same manner that God loves Jesus, he loves you. Because Jesus lives in you. See, Jesus said to the Father, I'm in you. You've loved me. In the same manner that you have loved me, I have loved them. If you look at the scripture on down in like verse 9 or 10, in the same way that God loved Jesus, Jesus loved us, and guess what we're supposed to do? In the same exact manner that Jesus loves us, we turn and love our neighbors. When's the last time you could honestly say that you turned and loved somebody you hated? Come on now, let's make this real, 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 because I'm closing. When's the last time you could say you honestly loved somebody that you disliked? Let's back that off, because you know it's unchristian to say we hate. So we're going to get a pass. If Pastor Kathy says, when do we hate somebody, then I don't got to answer the question. Because, you know, in Christianology, we got to say the right terminology. So let's back off to dislike strongly. When's the last time you loved somebody that you disliked strongly in the same manner that God loves you? Are you batting 100% on that tonight? Sometimes we can't because we haven't even gotten to first base with the fact that God loves us because we know what our past looks like. Guess what? So does he. So does he. And he still chose you. He still loves you. He still has a plan and a purpose for you. He has not changed his mind about you. to the question we answer as we close, did God really answer Jesus' prayer in you? I tell you, he did. He did. Look at this final slide. She realized she was forgiven not because she was worthy, but because Jesus is worthy. She realized she was loved not because she's lovable, but because God is loving. She's a child of God, not because she's good enough, but because he created her. Come on, does that put something precious in your heart tonight? See, out of that realization, if you can get a hold of that, out of that realization, we can love the world with authenticity. The people at your office can get saved. Your family can get saved. Those, like Monette said, that are wayward, that you haven't spoken to in years, you can go back because the Holy Spirit is redirecting your, I love him with all my heart, soul, and mind. We can go back and make that right. Because the Holy Spirit's like, you got to get yourself in a right place. They need Jesus. They need somebody to forgive them. They might have acted crazy, but so have you. Our daily assignment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. To live out of the allowance of giving the Holy Spirit permission to teach, guide, redirect, and love the world in the same manner that Jesus loves us. Ask for daily compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion because he looked out and he saw that they were as sheep without a shepherd. You know, I've taught you on sheepology. Sheep without a shepherd are in trouble. He was moved with compassion. Do you have that kind of compassion for the world? Are you more concerned with whether or not you make your next car payment? We get so distracted with the things of life that God gets the little bit of it, and it's when Pastor Gilbert's preaching on Sunday morning. That needs to be what we wake up with every morning. It needs to be the starting focus of our day. God, give me that type of compassion for the world. Watch over my mouth. Sit on my emotions. Sit on my appetite so I don't act like a fool and discredit the fact that I belong to you. Because I expected my children to behave in public. God expects that we show the world that he loves us and he loves them. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go again. I'm going to say this until somebody, I say this everywhere I go and preach. If you can ever get a hold of the fact that you're God's favorite, God can begin to do a work in your heart. See, I don't feel bad about allowing you, don't you love the way I said that? Well, because I know I'm God's favorite. I got it. I done got it. I'm up on it. But I think God's big enough that if you want to grab that too, you can. You can. The problem is that we don't dare to. Because like the whole God of the universe, like the big daddy God, like the one and only God, like the living God, the real one that wrote the Bible, I absolutely am his favorite. I absolutely. Any other favorites in the room? You're getting it. See, that's my mission, is to teach people all over the world that they are the favorites of God. Because if we can begin to believe that we're God's favorite, we can accept his love. We can allow Jesus to come and sit on those things that act us, make crazy. We can act like we ain't crazy. And when we do act crazy, the Holy Spirit can redirect us because we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Now, I'm going to have Gafar play a song. Here's what I want you to do. You can journal. I don't know why, I'm not a real journaler, but I heard the Holy Spirit say that in prayer 2 weeks ago. Tell him to journal. Okay, journal. As he plays this, I want you to, if you want to sit and let the word sing over you, if you want to journal, if you want to get on your knees, I want you to respond to the message. I'm not asking you to respond to what I've said. I'm asking you to respond to the message from the Lord. Respond to it. Because we need sometimes to get our thoughts about what God thinks about us redirected. Let's let the Lord respond. Let's respond to this.
And action.
All right.
Mind around it, the way you see me like gold. You stand in my mess and call out the best in me. But when my mind gets crowded with the lies that I'm told, you tell me the truth and show me that you believe in me. You believe in me. You know me as honest, you know me as good. You know me the way that I wish I could. You know me worthy, you know me loved. You know me better. Ooh. I can't seem to find me, show me where to start. Show me who you are, so I know who I am. You know who I am, and you know me as honest, you know me as good. You know me the way that I wish I could. You know me worthy, you know me loved. You know me better.
Dear Jesus, we just thank you tonight, Lord God, that we're not the sum of the lies that we're told. We're not the sum of the lies that we believed. We're not even the sum of the actions that happened to us or the things that we did to ourselves. That you made us full and complete with the cross, God. And I pray that we just continue to uncover who you say we are, God. God, in that original design before the world came and clouded our version of it and our vision of it, God, in that original design that you placed in our mother's womb, God. God, I pray that you continually call that name out to us, God. That you continually call that person out to us, God. The whole and complete one that you placed in that womb, God, I pray that we fight our way back to her. But God, I thank you that the battle's already won. I just pray that we have the courage to declare the truth over every lie, no matter who it's told by. God, we give you glory and honor for who you are, for revealing truth to us tonight. God, that your truth is love. It's all you are, Jesus. We give you glory and we give you honor. And God, I thank you for the exchange of peace and faithfulness and truth and joy, God, that is our strength. Lord God, I thank you for a group of women who could come together and laugh and act crazy and cry together. But God, I pray that it wouldn't end here. God, I pray that we continue to speak truth over one another, Jesus. In the times that we're wounded, in the times that we're hurting, in the times that we're fighting to believe truth, God, I pray that we would stand beside our sisters and fight for them when they can't fight anymore. God, I thank you that in place of jealousy and comparison, God, that there would be just love and truth spoken. God, that the healing starts tonight. It's funny, God revealed to me a while back that some wounds take a little more time. Because when you break your arm, it has to stay in a cast for a little while. So it's okay if your healing takes time. Keep believing in it. Keep having faith in who he is. Keep having faith that he's going to do and bring to completion what he said he was going to do and bring to completion. God, we give you all the glory, Jesus. We thank you that you called us whole and good and loving, peaceful, kind, compassionate, pure, faithful, honest, and good. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.